Okay, Sunday night, Parshas Vayeshev. We skipped a week. It's the 19th shiur in the 4th perek of Shaar Bitachon, the 7th shiur of the winter of Tuxin Samach Tes, Le'ilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson. In the sefer we're using, it's the very top of page Kuf Nun Beis. I believe by now it has finally settled into my brain that I'm the only one using this sefer. So there's no point in my saying what page number, and even the words are different.
Yeah.
I use Rav Kapach's translation, and the classic translation is Ibn Tibon's. And the shul, I like it because it's modern Hebrew, and it flows, and it's, Ibn Tibon is very difficult Hebrew. So, and it doesn't flow, it's a little choppy, the words don't flow as much as we're used to, so that's why I like the sefer. But it's okay, no one knows the difference.
What words are you looking at? Because it's full of an approximate...
This is called Rav Kapach's translation of Chovos HaOlmos.
Which paragraph has the sort of...
So I don't know what to say. In his words, it's for Hahevdel Bein HaMishma'as.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Right, that would be it. Okay, now what are we saying here? So the Chovos HaOlmos in Perek Dalid, very long perek, talks about bitachon in various situations, in various relationships. He's up to now number four on his list of seven things, and he's up to number four, which is applying bitachon to mitzvahs and averus. And that's going to be four and five. But four is when no one else is involved. There's no outside party involved. It could be a mitzvah like sukkah or Shabbos, where you're not relating to another person. It's, you know, what you do. And Chovos HaLevavos, which is all not relating to another person. It's you, yourself. There will be differences. We'll see. He'll talk about when it relates to another person, then there's a slightly different... application, it's a little more involved in you know bitachon because you're dealing with another person, and you'll see, as we'll see. So what does he say here? First of all, he breaks up a person's action into three parts. That's first of all, that's his first, this is all before, when I'm bringing us up to the paragraph that we're up to. My guy said, you know, I drank a glass of water. So Chazal says, no. He says, that should be broken down into three distinct points. Number one is, I made a decision that I'm going to drink a glass of water. There's that decision. Number two is, I planned out the poel, what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to drink a glass of water. So, like, okay, I'm going to go to the sink, I'm going to take a cup, I'm going to turn on the water, and I'm going to take a glass of water. That's a level in and of itself. In the first stage, you'll say, what's the difference between the two? In the first stage, I think Pshat and Chovos HaOlmos is, in the first stage, it's more like an idea, because he's going to relate this to Bechira. It's like, I decided, yes, I'm going to do this chesed. But he says, there's a distinct stage which says, at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to get into my car, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to do, like, it's a more bapoel, you know, more lemaisa dika plan. And it's interesting that he makes that chilek, because a lot of people really, it's mamish true, a lot of people stop after number one. And the reason they don't get to number three, which is actually doing it, is because there was never a number two. And if you don't have a number two, so you're always either pushing it off, or things come up, or you never get around to it, and like a lot of things happen when there's no second stage. So I think it's very geschmack that he makes a whole stage out of number two. So he says every action of a person has these three levels to it. So he says when it comes to mitzvahs, so you say, okay, I'm gonna have bitachon. Hashem's gonna get me to shul. Hashem's gonna take care of, you know, that I should do XYZ when XYZ is a mitzvah and a clear obligation. He says that's shtuyot and it's wrong hashkafa. this area Hashem wants you to be bocher, and he doesn't, don't rely on Hashem for anything. You have to make the decision in number one and two. He says, relying on, or even having, bitachon, relying on Hashem to make it happen in number one and number two, which is the bechira, the choice, being ready to do it, planning how to do it, that is the human's burden. That's bechira, that you have an achrayas to do, and Hashem stays out of it. Now, of course, Hashem is always enabling us, because, like, who enables my mind to work and to plan? It's only Hashem, right? So, of course, Hashem is always empowering. But there's no inyan bitochon regarding making the choice. In other words, I can't rely on Hashem that I'm going to do the right thing, and Hashem's going to make it work, or I'm not going to decide what to do tomorrow, I'm going to just go with the flow, and whatever Hashem sends my way, that's what Hashem wants me to do. No. You have to make decisions, you have to be bocher, what you're doing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So if I daven to Hashem to help me make the right decision...
Please wait.
Okay.
He's going to get into now, he's going to bring up the point that so many psukim in Tehillim, and in davening, we're talking to Hashem to help us, and it's L'chora addressing the first two issues. And his mom is going to ask that question. So if you can please wait. She says, I could say, you know, so when it comes to Gashmius, and it comes to things that are, so then I could rely on Hashem to everything. You know, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? If we're not talking about a mitzvah, like, how should I earn a parnasa? You say, I'll go with the flow, and Hashem will, whatever Hashem sends my way, I have bitachon, Hashem's going to send something my way. You have to do, your only limitation or parameter is what we call hishtadlus, which he explained. You have to, you can't sit back and say, Hashem's going to send me a job. You have to be on the ball. You have to go through the motions of going through it. But every step is bitachon. Bitachon, bitachon, bitachon. Awareness that you're just going through motions. Hashem's doing everything. Mitzvahs, ruchnius, listening to Hashem, cut out bitachon from the first two. The third thing is up to Hashem, because only Hashem can make it happen. You can plan to give tzedakah, right? And only Hashem is going to see to it that the money gets to the hand of the ani. You could plan to go to shul, right? And only Hashem is going to decide if it's going to happen or not. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes I could want to be mevaker chole, and I actually plan the whole thing, and I go, and the guy was discharged from the hospital yesterday. In that area, you have bitachon. You say, I'm relying on Hashem that it should actually come to fruition, my plans. He says, and he said, again, I'm just reiterating, the schar we get, he says, if it happens, Hashem gives a schar for all three chalokim. It's interesting. He breaks it up even in terms of the gemul of Hashem. Hashem gives a schar for wanting to do the right thing, for wanting, for that bechira, which is really wanting to do the right thing. Hashem gives a schar for that choice. We want. Hashem gives a schar for, I'll call it the planning, for wanting on a more realistic level, for planning it out, for working out how it's going to happen. And if Hashem allows it to happen, Chavis HaVod says we get schar for that too. I imagine the pshat is Hashem, in allowing it to happen, is like, that's the statement Hashem's making, so to speak. I will give you schar. Even though that's not really up to us, that is Hashem empowered. Hashem made that happen. Hashem was the one who decided whether or not the guy's going to be home, whether or not your money's going to get to the right place, whether or not nothing stops you from, you know, there's a lot of mafriyim that could stop our good wishes. There is something that I don't know a teretz to yet, And that is, Rebbe Horowitz pretty much says that if the third thing doesn't happen, so you'll get yischar for the first two. The Gemara implies that in such a case you would even get schar ki'ilu asa'a, as if you did it. I imagine that the Chavis Halvodas write choshav adam lasos mitzvah below asa'a, and he didn't do it, so Hashem gives him schar ki'ilu asa'a. I imagine the Chavis Halvodas understands that Gemara to be saying that you get schar for the first two. In other words, that's how he understands the Gemara. I'm answering the question. Not that it's meaningless, you know. Someone could say, hey, you didn't give the tzedakah, you get a zero, you know, nebuch, you get a zero. We don't give you reward, you don't get brownie points for good intentions. That's what we would say. So the Gemara says, no, Hashem gives him schar as if he did it. So Chavis Halvodas, I believe, interprets that to mean you get schar for your decision, for your bechira. You get schar for your hagshama, I'll call it, for your putting flesh and bones on your decision. I can't reiterate enough. It's such an insight, this number two, that the Chavis Halvodas says. It's a tremendous insight, because so many people have good intentions, and they think, well, it didn't happen, because Hashem didn't let it happen. But really, they didn't do number two.
Could you give an example, a more concrete example?
I want to go to shul tomorrow. A woman says, I want to go to shul tomorrow. And let's assume it's a mitzvah for her to do so. Okay? Let's assume, for argument's sake, that it's a mitzvah. So she has to plan. I'm going to get a babysitter. My baby's going to this. I'm going to ask my kid. She has to plan how she's going to go. I'm going to daven shachris tomorrow. What do I have to talk about going to shul for? Tomorrow I'm going to daven shachris. The minimum that I'm obligated to do, based on those cards Rabbi Milinowitz gave out, tomorrow I'm going to do it. So you have to plan, because for whatever reason you didn't do it today. I was tired, I had a headache, my baby was crying, the phone rang. So you have to plan. I'm going to daven tomorrow because I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier, or because I'm going to give my baby a bottle, or because I'm going to feed my baby later today. I'm not saying you should do any of these things. Yeah. Women are putter, you know, for a reason. That's an example. I mean, this is... Everyday life is like this. I can have great intentions, you know, but if I don't plan, I'm going to stay up tonight and learn. I have to nap this afternoon. Let's, you know, so many, everything. And please let me say it again. So we fall into the trap of having good intentions, and then it doesn't work out, and we blame it on Hashem, and even, right, and we say, Hashem didn't let happen, but really we didn't. It was just a nice idea, and we're full of nice ideas, and we love things. You have to plan. You have to, like, why is this going to happen? What's going to be different? What am I going to do to make it happen? Chavis Halvodas considers that mamish a stage in every action a person does. We do it unthinkingly. That's the thing. I'm going to meet a friend tomorrow. And so we say, you know, we skip over everything and go meet the friend. But I had to make that decision, and I had to plan how that's going to happen. And you get schar. There's no bitachon in the first two stages. You can't rely on Hashem. You have to make a decision to do good, and you have to make a plan how this is going to happen. How is it going to be bepoel? Then you rely on Hashem to make it happen. That's up to Hashem if it's going to happen or not. But you get schar for the first two, even if it doesn't happen. The Chavis Halvodas is that when it does happen, you get schar for all three, even though the third is Hashem. But you get schar because he made it happen because of the first two. So you get the credit for that. Yeah.
I just don't understand your example of visiting the sick, for instance. So you thought about it, you planned how to do it.
And you got to the hospital.
You actually have to do the effort, the physical effort of taking the bus to get to the hospital. You have to do all those actions.
Yeah.
So if you get there and the person's not there,
you were not mevaker chola.
So you're not going to get the reward for all that physical exertion of, I don't know, going all the way to Jerusalem, taking the bus, going
there? That's a separate issue. You're not going to get schar for the mitzvah of according to the Cholvus Halvavus, you will not get schar for the action of Bikur Cholim. But you will get schar for everything. No. You'll get schar for everything else. I assume, including the tircha of going there, that you get. That's also you'll get schar for that. But that's schar. What is that? No, what that's included in wanting to do the mitzvah, and you wanted to even at personal expense, and you gave up time. But the bottom line is not there. So that's what the Gemara is saying. You might say that you don't get any reward for good intentions, and if the bottom line is not there, there's nothing, right? That's what an accountant would say. That's what they say in the business world, right? If I hire someone to paint my house, and he goes to the store, and he buys all the paint and the brushes, and he comes to my house, and then he gets a phone call that his wife's in labor, and he runs, I don't pay him. He didn't paint my house. But Hashem gives you schar. He doesn't give you schar for painting the house. That's a chiddush, really, because I guess a simple interpretation of the Gemara is that he does give you schar, even as if you painted the house. But I think that's included in the Chiddush HaLevavos' first two things. You get schar for wanting to paint the house, and for planning on painting it, and for, you know, for working it out. I think the Chiddush of the Chiddush HaLevavos is the other way, that you get schar even though Hashem did it, not you. You know, the very last thing that made it happen is Hashem's choice. Yeah.
So I was under the impression that just by wanting to do a mitzvah, you get a certain amount of schar. But what if you only can get to step number one? Like, you want to do a certain mitzvah, but you know that there's no physical way of doing it. For example, you want to do the mitzvah of, you want to give tzedakah, right? Every paper that comes into your door, and you really do want to give the tzedakah, but you don't have the money to do it. You can't do step number one.
That's a very, very good question. According to the Chavis of Lovelace, you will get schar for number one.
Step number one.
That's number one. But it has to be sincere. It's very difficult. Hashem knows, let me put it that way, because it's very easy to have a false, fake, insincere wanting, since it's not l'maisa. It's like it's like cheap. So it's hard to be sincere, but you know, it's Hashem we're dealing with. So Hashem knows if you're sincere. So the answer to your question is definitely you get schar. Chavis HaLevavos would say you get schar for number one. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly the point. You know, when I say, you know, if I sincerely would love to build the Beis HaMikdash, if I could, you know, I would sincerely love to build, to make a yeshiva for, you know, if I could. If that's sincere, so that's also a chiddush and a major point of the Chayyus HaLavavus, that there is schar for that. See, the Gemara is talking about if you did number one and number two and number three didn't happen. But I'm just pointing out that the sincerity of number one is, I think, made difficult by the fact that there's no wherewithal. Like, you can't even do number two. You know you can't. So, but Hashem knows. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just pointing out that it would be hard because, you know, a quick, you know, I wish I'd learn a whole day. You know, that's nice, but I don't really wish, you know. Sometimes, you know, my kids, you know, I want to do this. I say, no, you don't. Well, what do you mean? I said, if you wanted to do it, you would do it. People say it all the time. Well, I want to live in Eretz Yisrael. I say, no, you don't. If you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, you would move to Eretz Yisrael. Plenty of people did. And, you know, so you don't really want to live there. You would like, you know. But then again, you know, my son, my oldest son, works in a yeshiva called Kesher in Yerushalayim. So they demand, their mahalach with the boys is to demand that they act a certain way. They have their rules and they make demands. They don't, there's different mahalachim, how to work with troubled children, we'll call them. Their mahalach is to. So what they demand of them is that they. So my son puts it this way: says they demand of them that they want to act correctly. But the yebed, it's enough if they don't. You know, if you come to the yeshiva and you say, you know, make me want to be good. No, this is not the place. You go to a different yeshiva. But if you come and you want to be good, then they'll give you the world. They'll help you. They'll work with you. They'll. Then I said, but the Yavad, if you just want to, that's all. If you come to them and you say, I don't want to, but I want to, and can you help me with that, they'll also take you. But you have to want to. Okay, that's number one, right? Okay, so that's what he said until now. And then he said it's the same with an Aveira. And I might have spoken it out. And if you're aware of the Gemara, it's a question on the Chovos HaLevavos, because the Chovos HaLevavos is saying that if a person meant to do an Aveira and planned on doing an Aveira, and just at the end, like a policeman walked by, so he didn't do it. So the Chovos HaLevavos says almost openly the last line before we were up to, and we may even get to there today, he says it's the same system. So here the kash is the other way, that the Gemara says if you want to do an Aveira and you don't succeed, you do not get punished for it. Right? Chashav, it's the converse. Chashav.
Like number one and number two get erased, don't they?
Right. So it's a kasha. The Chovos HaLevavos says it's not like that.
I thought it was only the number one that got erased.
The Gemara says if you wanted to do an Aveira and you ne'enas, you couldn't do it. You wanted to, but you couldn't do it. The policeman walked by. The slate's clean. That's what the Gemara says. So the Chor, it's a kasha on the Chovos HaLevavos, who says the chain, the last few words in the previous paragraph. Oh, I don't have the paper. Oh, b'chein ha'onesh al hamerit. It's the same system. The answer is that the Gemara means something else. Because what the Gemara is talking about, a Jew. Because in a non-Jew, it's not true. And the Gemara says just about openly, and that will explain the Chovos HaLevavos too. The Gemara says virtually openly that the pshat in that statement is that we assume that when push came to shove, he wouldn't have done it. In other words, the policeman walked by, but we don't look at him that if the policeman would have walked by, he would have done it. We look at a Jew as saying, you know, maybe he would have changed his mind. He wouldn't have done it at the end. How do I know that's what the Gemara means? Because the Gemara says if the person did the Aveira already, once, twice, then he does get punished for planning to do the Aveira, even if the policeman walked by and he didn't do it. Right? The Gemara says, right? That's what the Gemara says. It's a Mefarish Gemara. That means it's clear that the Pshat in the Gemara is not like, okay, if it didn't happen, you're scot-free. That's not the Pshat. You see clearly in the Gemara that the Pshat is, if it didn't happen, we assume you wouldn't have done it. But if you've proven to us that you would have done it, you did do it. You did it twice already. Then Hashem punishes you even for the plan to do it. So that's this obviously is no longer difficult. Like, although this is talking when we have every reason to assume you would have done it. We look at, and that's why the Gemara says by a non-Jew, the Gemara says, does get punished for planning to do evil. So it's not pshat. Hey, man, that's not fair. It's not the pshat. The pshat is by a non-Jew, we assume that he would have carried out his evil plans. He just was stopped from doing it because of whatever. And with a Jew, we assume that he, you know, maybe would have changed his mind the last minute. You know, something would have stopped him from doing it. His conscience would have, you know, that's how we look at it. But if he did the Aveira once or twice already, then we don't say that. And Itaka gets punished even for the plan. So that explains the Chovos HaLevavos on both ends, right? This was a difficult paragraph in view of the two statements of Chazal we said, but I think we explained each one. You see, ladies, we're not much learning. We're learning pilpul here. And they get into trouble. No, but it was important to explain it because, first of all, you're acquainted with the Gemaras, you're learned ladies. And second of all, Laman HaEmes, we have to explain the Chovos HaLevavos. And now we're up to where we're up to. B'Hevdel, why is this so? It's interesting. Why is it so that I I'm supposed to have bitachon on Hashem in mundane things, and when it comes to mitzvahs, then I have to do what I have to do, and I can't rely on Hashem. I have to make the plans, and I have to develop the will, and I have to make these decisions myself. The ahevdel bein hamishmas, like, why can't I just say, I don't know how I'm going to spend my day, you know, wherever Hashem leads me, that's what's going to happen today, you know. Should I go to shul? Should I daven today? You know what? I'm just going to see how the day flows, and whatever Hashem wants. If Hashem wants me to daven, it'll be a quiet morning. And if Hashem doesn't want me to daven, it won't be a quiet morning. No, maybe it's okay for a lady to say it, because maybe a lady is not absolutely obligated to daven in the morning. You know, she'll say her Birchas HaShachar, you know. So maybe past that you could say. But when we're dealing with a mitzvah, let's say, with the minimum of davening that a woman has to do, right? So you are not, it's wrong and foolish and a mistake, says the Chayyus Avodus, to say, well, and sometimes we all fall into this trap. You know, a man, women, it's all the same. We're really obligated to do something. A man has to go to minyan, right? So he'll say, you know, I'll see how Hashem makes my day work out. And if Hashem, you know, allows me to go to minyan, no, that's foolish, wrong, and not correct, Chazal says. Don't, you can't mix in bitachon when it comes to these things. You have to make decisions. You have to make plans, not just decisions, but plans. Then it's up to Hashem, because Hashem could stymie the best made plans, and he could make it happen. The reason this difference exists, he says, v'ahevdel bein hamashmos l'shor pulos olam hazeh b'inyan ha-bitachon al Hashem yisrem and b'yisadar. I have to admit, I don't know what he's bothered by, because that's Bechira. So al karchach, I can't use bitachon, because Hashem wants me to decide, because that's what Bechira is all about. So I don't really understand why he has to explain this. You see, he's explaining it from the bitachon perspective. Why does it make sense? Why is it logical that bitachon doesn't cover this area too? So he said, and it covers every other area. What business should I go into? How should I earn money? How many hours should I work? You know, that's all bitachon. That'd be tough. What's the difference? He says. He says because kishor inyon. He says a tremendous insight, tremendous, very powerful ideas here. He says kishor inyon olam hazeh lo gila lanu ofen hakosher. The logic of bitachon is because there's no clear path. There's no clear path. There's no right way for me to earn parnasa. There's no right way for me to live. Like, so I'd be talking that things will work out. There's no right and wrong. There's no clear path, he says. Logila lanu, the Torah doesn't tell us ofan hakosher v'hatov, what's the right way, what's a better besiba min hasibas, what's the right siba for living, for parnasa, for health. The Torah doesn't tell me what's the siba. Biladei zulasa, right, a different way than I've chosen. Below ofan ahefsid, what's not good. It's this is not a good way to earn parnasa. This is not a good way. There's no clear path, right? People always say, you know, but I don't know what's right. You know? So he says, in the ways of the world, in everyday life, so we don't know which path to choose. There's no clear way. There's no right way. There's no Torah way. Below ba'acheros ki onu lo yodanu. We don't know. Ezo min ha-mektsoos, which ways of earning parnasa, let's say yoser nochol lanu, which is more appropriate for us. V'choshev l'ma'aneinu. But v'akoshes ha-parnasa, he says v'habrius, in health, we don't really know. So pshat is, we do our best, That's in the shtablus. We talked about whole wheat bread. We talked about vegetables, organic. So you do your best, but it's primarily bitachon. It's primarily we throw hashlech al Hashem yehavcha. We throw upon Hashem. We rely on Hashem that we should be healthy. We rely on Hashem that we should have parnasa. We don't have a clear way, so we just go through the motions and we rely on Hashem to make it work. Because we're helpless, and we feel helpless, and we are helpless. Because it could either be good, it could be bad. It could work, it cannot work. There's no clear path. There's no clear way to do it. So it's logical and rational and compelling to have bitachon. That's the rules of Hishtadlus that Yochai B'Saldova said in his famous example. Just like you can't sit by a table and expect the food to jump into your mouth and go into your stomach, so you can't expect money to flow into your bank account. Unless you have Bituach Lumi. Right? The Habrius and health. Health is... the Torah doesn't say in the Torah how to be healthy. I mean, that's not what the Torah, Chazal give us some hints, what to do, what not to do. The Rambam actually has, in the Halachas in the Rambam, right, he has how to be healthy. There's a big controversy about if the Rambam is talking as a doctor or as a posek. If that perek in the Rambam is Torah or not. It's a big controversy. I would guess from the Chayim Halvavos was written way before the Rambam, clearly. I mean, it was written before the Rambam. But I would guess that the Chayim Halvavos would say it's not Torah, based on this word in the Chayim Halvavos. He says there's no clear way to be healthy. Right? People could be in the... We know that. We know people in the prime of health get sick. There's no clear way to be healthy. So you do your best. You do, as we explained when we had that whole discussion, what seems to you to be the right way. But bitachon, right? You're relying on Hashem to keep you healthy. You're relying on Hashem to give you parnasa, and that's the imperative, and that's compelling. And also v'hatova, just having a good life. Lo be'ezem mimine hamischa, what kind of business to do, what kind of things to sell. Hamasos, we're taking trips. We don't know what will bring Hatzlacha. But therefore, it's compelling. So even in choosing what to do, so we make our best educated choice. It's really a guess. That's what Halavos is saying. It's really a guess. And then we rely on Hashem. Like, that's the emphasis, and that's the bulk, and that's really the only rational, compelling thing to do, is to rely on Hashem. Sheyeitiv la'ozreinu, that He should help us. Alma sheyesh b'tualteinu, that things will work out. Achrei she'nesasek b'hen, after we do what we have to do. That's what we call Hishtadlus. V'nischanein lafonov, yeah, and you have to daven to Hashem. That's the condition. You have to have bitachon in Hashem, and you have to do hishtadlus, and you have to daven that it should work. Sheyo'ir olsonu, that Hashem should push us. Livchor hanocholonu, to choose a good parnoso, to choose a good thing to do, to choose the right school, I would say. There's no right and wrong. There's no clear path. No one's going to... So you have to have bitachon, you have to do your best, you have to make an educated choice, and then you have to have bitachon that it's going to work, and you have to daven that it's going to work, that Hashem should make it work. So that's how it is by the things in the world. It's compelling to have bitachon because there's no clear thing to do. So you do it. You do your best, shtadlus, and then you have bitachon and you daven. He says. But it's chani l'fon of you daven. Avol mishmas Hashem eino kein. But when it comes to mitzvahs, there is a Hashem. What do you want? Hashem told you what to do. Hashem told you what to do. Don't come saying, I'm going to rely on Hashem. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's right. I'm going to just, go with the flow. He says, baloney. You know what you're supposed to do. Hashem wrote in the Torah what you're supposed to do. L'fishu k'var herilonu es ha'ofen ha'nochon bo l'tzivonu livcharoso ha'chashanos l'lonu es ha'yecholos l'kach. Hashem gives us the wherewithal to do it. And then we have to do it. We know what's right. We know the path to take. We know what we're supposed to do. B'chashen eschanein l'fonov she'yivchar osa. We'll explain that in a moment. V'niftach olav she'yivka chayneinu alon. Oh no, I'm sorry. B'chashen, if we daven to Hashem that we should do mitzvahs, she'yivchar osa, v'niftach olav, and we have bitochen in Hashem, that we should figure out what's right to do. It's a mistake. Because it's clear, we know. Now, I'm aware, sometimes people don't know. And then, although this is not talking about when there's two ways, and it's not clear which way to go. They're both right, or they're both right. Right? And I guess, we think that many sfeikos in life are really, they're both right. And, if it's really an eitzah, you want what to do. But when there's a right way to do something that's clear, and you really know it, that's what you should do. So Rabbi Lovitz says, don't daven and don't have bitochon. Go, Hashem already told you what to do. What are you hesitating? There should be no vagueness. Just go do what you gotta do. Go do what you know you're supposed to do. Go do what Hashem told you to do. It's clear. There's no bitachon here. There's a clear thing that you have to go do now. It'll be good for us. We know it's good for us. It'll give us good in Olam Hazeh. By Yisuvenu Hashem Lassus, as Kol Achukam Ma'elu L'Yiretz Hashem Alokeinu L'Tov Lono Kol Ayom, meaning in Olam Hazeh. V'omar B'gmul Olam Haba, and this next Pasuk, it's interesting because all of us learns is talking about Olam Haba. Utztoka Tiyalonu Kinishmor Lassus, I believe the Ramban and Chumash also learns like that, that that's a reference to Olam Haba, to Scharn Olam Haba. Utztoka Tiyalonu, that's called Tztoka Tiyalonu Kinish Malasos, is besides the Schar Olam Hazeh, that will have good lives, this Tzedakah will be the future reward. So, again, he says it's clear what you have to do. And I think most Sveikus, I can't say, it depends what the Suffolk is. Many times people say that there are two right ways, so it's not clear. Gashmius is never clear, he says. You never know what's right. Granted, the Chavis Havodas, if you remember himself, gave guidelines for how to pick a job. But that, I guess, that's the Chavis Havodas talking. He doesn't say that's like Alpi Torah, that's what you have to do. That's the Chavis Halvodis' wisdom. He was a Rishon. It's like going to a Rav and he tells you an eight. So that's Torah, call it. Chavis Halvodis is telling you, pick a job. I mean, he puts it in terms where it's like, this is what Hashem wants you to do. You have a natural affinity for it and a capability of it, and it gives you Sipuk HaNefesh. That's his job description for you. You still can't say, it's like health, the Gemara also has things about health, don't drink this, don't eat this, but that's not, I guess that's not, it's not a clear way. Plenty of people do that and get sick, and plenty of people don't do that and are healthy, and people get parnosa from the weirdest things, and they don't have parnosa, even if it's great things. It's all, maybe there's guidelines, but there's no clear way. But in mitzvahs, there's a clear way. You know what you have to do. You know how you're supposed to act. You know how you're supposed to live. He could be talking in general. He could be talking specifically. You know how, You know the way. You know the derech hachayim. You know the derech of mitzvahs. That's not unclear. And therefore, don't tell me bitochen stories. Don't daven. Do what you got to do. Yeah. You want to ask a question?
Yeah, I do. I feel that, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think in today's day, there's so much static. I can't, for lack of a better word, there's just so much static that sometimes I don't know if it's really the right thing. I know you think you know the right thing, perhaps, but if I had time to do is go to this and to sit and really focus on it, I would be able to find what's that talk of the right way, but...
Let me put what you're saying a different way.
Okay.
You call it static. I call it we're inundated with information. And we're inundated with media and with Sfarim and with Shiurim and with tapes. And everybody's pushing me and pulling in a different direction. This one's telling me this is the main thing and this is telling me that's the main thing. Is that what you mean?
I don't have time to think. To really
sort it all out.
Yeah. I also feel very often I have to make split-second decisions. I don't have the luxury of saying, wait a second, I need to think this one out.
Are you sure?
Which is the right way.
Are you sure?
Sure what?
That you don't have the luxury of thinking it through?
Depending on the situation. I mean, I guess the best example would be doing something with the children, where I'm not sure what's the right there to encourage them, to discourage them, but I don't have the luxury to sit back and say, wait a second, I need to think.
Why?
Why?
You mean because it's something that's happening right now?
It's the here and now, I need to, like...
In your specific example, I want to sidestep your question. And now I'm not talking to you. Now I'm talking in general. So someone, I'll give you an example. Someone came to me and they were not able to cope with the economic downturn. And they asked me to help them cope with it. You know, talk to them, give them chizuk, explain to them. So I think I did a not bad job, but that was after I gave them mussar. And I said, you know, you have to prepare for things. You can't wait till they happen and always deal with, you know, oh my goodness, there's a crash, and what am I going to do, and I'm depressed. So I said, you know, you have to fortify yourself and think ahead. And, it's like a person's supposed to be able to give up his life, al kiddush Hashem, willingly. I'm not talking about, you know, someone that has no say in the matter, and blown to this. But someone, it's possible if we had to make a split-second decision, we wouldn't have the koach to do it. You know, someone's holding a gun to my head and says, you know, do avodah zara or else. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I'd like to think I would do the right thing. But if I leave it to a split-second decision, what's the answer? The answer is, well, maybe I'm supposed to anticipate or imagine. And it says, you know, whenever you say Shema Yisrael, you're supposed to think that you're ready to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. And maybe I'm neglectful in doing that I don't think about that when I say Kriya Shema. Maybe I should think about it more and fortify myself and, you know, try to prepare myself. And then when it happens, I'll be fortified. So, just addressing this point of yours, and again, I'm not talking to you, you know, but the Eitzah for those situations would be to anticipate and to think beforehand. Many times it's general. I think it's rare that it's like so specific as this incident. Usually it's a cloud, or some sort of a cloud. And then a chlami, you're right. That's why a person should think beforehand and plan beforehand and read beforehand, listen to parenting texts, you know, whatever they have to do. But you're certainly right. Your other point. I mean, let's say, I don't know, let's say of all the questions I get as a Rav, I'd say 50% they really should be able to figure out themselves what's right and what's wrong, and 50% they can't. And you're right that more things go into the category of they can't, because we're living in the information age, and there's Shabbos sheets, and there's Shiur, like, that's what I find. I find that people are inundated with everybody, like with their own mahalach and their own agenda of what's right and what's wrong and what's important and what's not important and what's primary and what's secondary. And boom, boom, and like it cascades over you. And that's that one you saw in a valid door. So I won't. Can a person sort it all out for themselves? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe they could. Maybe they can't. If they can't, they have to ask a Rav. The Rav's job is to make believe he can sort it all out. Mm-hmm. That's the job, right? That's the thing nowadays. It's very hard. Believe me. It's I think it was simpler to be a Rav 100 years ago when you had to answer Shilas about the chicken. You know? And now it's like, like everything from A to Z, and because there's a, everything is out there. I mean, I have my agenda too. Why do I learn Shar Bitachon? Another Rav would learn Shar Hatznius and say that's what it's all about. That's what's stopping Mashiach from coming, and that's what's, you know, that's it. And another Rav will learn Shar Gemilas Chasodim and say V'atulayecha Kamolcha. That's what it's all about. The Bayasheni was Nechem because of Siddur Schina, and we have to, you know. And I have became convinced at the relatively early stage of life that this is what it's all about. That this is the most. This is what life's all about. This is bitachon, relying on Hashem, recognizing that Hashem runs your life. To me, that it's clear to me that that is the most important principle, right? But you're right. But like sometimes there's a conflict. There's a conflict between bitachon and other things that are out there. So the Chodesh HaVodas is not addressing that at all. I mean, either he is or he isn't. A person has to be able to, you know, only Hashem knows, really. I mean, you know, when I, Shabbos, I spoke in Shul, and I said a person really in his heart of hearts knows if he's doing his best. So some people came over to me afterwards and said, hey, man, that's not true. So I said, maybe it's not true 10% of the time. But I think what I consider a much more major casualty of the static you talk about, what I call the inundation of information, what I consider to be a much bigger casualty is that we don't have time to think. Or maybe that's what you said, that we don't have time to think. People don't have time to think. And if they have a little time to think, right away the iPod's going, or the MP3 player, or the music's blaring, they put on a tape recorder, and they, you know, it's nice to have it quiet. we don't think. It's also, we don't have time to think. We're always, you go, you should lie if it's words, you go on the sheets, like you're crashing with the signs on the wall telling you all sorts of azharos and be careful about this and be careful about that. You know, and come to shul on time and don't, you know, have kavana and during kriyashma and, you know, and dress sneostick and, you know, and have achdus and no machlokes, and, you know, it's like, whoa, what should I do first?
They're all true. It's like a clock that's woven from
it's, not, it's all true, but, you know, a person has to prioritize, and everybody wants a piece, everybody wants you to consider that primary and to live your life. You know, you're not a man. I go to shul, there's a sign up, you know, why it was Klal Yisrael, you know, why the terror in Bombay? Because the people are not wearing their tefillin shel rosh exactly in the right place, you know. You know, and we're bombarded.
I mean, the Haredos made a huge gathering, a huge shalayim. So, one speaker said, I mean, of course it's all true, but everybody, you know, one speaker says, you know, we have to have more kavanah by davening. And the next speaker says we have to be more tzniyostik. And the next speaker says we have to learn more. The next speaker says we have to have more achdus. If I...
Aren't all of those things that...
You know what happens? People blank. Let me tell you something. People blank out. People just turn off. Most people. Most people just, you know... You know, he's just... They get waves and waves of these... And they just tune out. And they don't. And then they become paralyzed. Because they don't know what to do. What should I do first? Anyway, I'm the rubber based tefillah, and I say you have to have bitachon. I'm convinced it's true, and I can prove it, because everything that's happening is because Israel doesn't have bitachon. They would have bitachon, they would go do what they have to do. You think the Israeli government doesn't know what to do? They know what has to be done. They're afraid. We're all afraid. We took a vote, we also wouldn't. There would be a binding referendum what to do. The Frum people wouldn't vote to do what you have to do. It's Frum people that say, well, America, what's going to be? So we have Tzaras. Okay.